It is day 11 of the federal government shutdown. Is there an end in sight, or does the country risk default if the borrowing limit or the debt ceiling isn't raised by next week's deadline? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, October 11th. We will talk with Republican U.S. Representative Reed Ribble in this half hour about his ideas to address this showdown. He also has a proposal to address Social Security solvency during these budget talks, and we will welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Congressman Reed Ribble represents Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, which covers most of northeastern Wisconsin. He is also the Republican co-chair of the No Labels Problem Solvers Caucus. Congressman Ribble, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me.
I know that you also led an event yesterday that included 52 members of Congress from both parties urging government leaders to sit down and talk about the budget and the threat of default. And what happened?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is ultimately the president is now becoming engaged, which he hasn't been engaged other than to kind of put his foot down and say, this isn't going to happen. I'm particularly proud of the about 20 to 25 House Democrats that stood on that stage with us yesterday calling for the president to negotiate. That's a step away from their party leadership. They've had a no negotiation posture since this whole thing started. And what we're saying is you can't have a one-way conversation. And so we're just trying to get things kickstarted so that people are actually talking about solutions as opposed to just pointing fingers at each other.
Yeah. Why, Congressman Ribble, can't Congress send the president what he's asking for, a clean resolution to open the government and to raise the debt ceiling, if only temporarily, and then he'll negotiate? He doesn't want the threat of of crisis hanging over the government.
Yeah, well, I think that that's probably where this all ends up ultimately. But the reality of it is that the House of Representatives and the Senate have had a dysfunctional operational relationship for the last 4 years or 3 years. The House has been actually passing bills, a lot of them in bipartisan fashion. Let's just talk about one key element. It was a lot of news reported this week about some soldiers who were killed in battle, and they weren't getting their death benefits, which are typically paid out in just a few days. Well, the appropriations bill that would have covered that had been passed by the House months ago with broad bipartisan support. 95 or 97 Democrats supported it. And it sat over in the U.S. Senate and had never been acted on. Much of the problem that we're facing right now is the fact that we don't have a typical appropriations process in play. And this continuing resolution is highlighting the fact that we're not actually managing the country's finances correctly. There is an appropriations process. It's simple to follow. But we have to have both sides. And so our side is saying, well, Mr. President, we understand that you want to negotiate after the fact, but your side has not done anything prior to this. And this, you've left us no choice but to try to govern this way. And that's kind of the core Republican position. That's why we've got to this place.
You know, Speaker John Boehner has been calling for a delay in Obamacare, the individual mandate, saying that it's only fair that given that big businesses are getting a delay, the American people should too. But the administration says the individual mandate is a cornerstone of the Affordable Care Act and is not willing to negotiate that. Should that be a part of the negotiations to end the shutdown or raise the debt limit?
Well, you know, the individual mandate is one of those things that we actually felt would be helping the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Stop and consider, if only the people that voluntarily wanted to be in that system had the ability to go in, it was fully funded, and it was operating whatever way it was going to operate, all we were trying to do is propose to the president, listen, you've given a huge giveaway by removing the tax penalty for big corporations, the people who are funding your political campaigns, but you're not willing to remove that tax penalty to individuals who, by the way, are not having any success in getting into the system. We have heard from HHS, from the software makers, from everybody that they weren't ready to launch. And so all we wanted to do was restore fairness back in the system. If the president can change the law by executive fiat, certainly under the Constitution of the United States that says all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress, the Congress of the United States ought to be able to modify the law in a legal way. And the modification was one that actually would have helped. It would have made it. It would have made it fair.
So what? Where do we stand now, Congressman Ribble? Did the House just change its offer to the Democrats and the president?
It did. And all through this entire process, the House representatives and Republicans and us have been moving toward trying to find compromise positions. We compromised four times on the full funding of the government. We've then been sending a dozen clean CRs over to the Senate, in addition to the four appropriations bills that were all clean that we sent over earlier, that the Senate has never acted on. And so we've been compromising all along, and now the Speaker said, listen, we'll raise the debt limit for 6 weeks so that we can work out our differences between now and Thanksgiving. We thought it was a reasonable, it had no contingencies on it other than come to the table. We asked that we would go into a budget conference and do these things through the appropriations process. And now Nancy Pelosi throws a wrench into that idea. She's been pounding Republicans for 5 months that we need to go to conference on the budget. And now when we say, okay, we'll go to conference on the budget, we now have a framework, she said, nope, we're not going to go to conference on the budget unless you do the CR clean and you do it right away.
Yeah.
Well, so there is a political kabuki dance that is frustrating many mainstream Republicans and Democrats, because you get to a place where it seems like there'll be movement, and then the leadership on one side or the other decides to change the target, move the target.
And you, Congressman Ribble, you want to include Social Security cuts in the discussions about the debt ceiling?
My proposal offered no cuts to Social Security at all. What I did is I went to the Speaker and said, I believe that it is in America's best interest to reform and repair Social Security for the next 75 years, to actually preserve and protect it. And I personally offered up some what I felt were essential modifications to the program so that it will be there for our children. And quite frankly, if you're 63 years old or younger today, if we don't fix it, cuts are going to happen, and it's not going to be reductions in the rates of growth. It's going to be hardline 20-some percent cuts to benefits. And you talk to any 22-year-old or 25-year-old, they're going to say, well, I don't believe Social Security is going to be there. I believe it ought to be there, and unless we're willing to actually sit down at the table, the status quo is the worst possible solution. And we have made promises to ourselves through this program that are underfunded by about $9.6 trillion, according to Social Security actuaries. I proposed some suggestions to get the ball started in negotiations, and I was very, very clear. If you don't like these, offer your own, but we can't just ignore it. This is what the Congress always does because it's hard. And I've been attacked by the left for actually bringing forth a proposal, which nobody ever wants to do. They just say, well, let's fix Social Security. Well, I've actually said, well, here's four ideas. Give me yours, and let's talk about it.
Well, we'll talk.
That sounds reasonable to me.
We'll talk about some of those ideas to fix Social Security, and we will welcome questions from our listeners at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Your opportunity to talk with, ask a question of, let's not have a shouting match, U.S. Representative Reed Ribble of Appleton. He is our guest for this half hour. We will talk with Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan, a Democrat from Madison, coming up after 7:30. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, and joining me for the next few minutes is Bill Martins. We are here to ask for your support of the programs that you enjoy, that you value. Your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. With your pledge today, you will also be entered into a drawing for an iPad. So now is a great time to support the programs on Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Joy, I love bringing great news during pledge drives, and we've got some really great news regarding our last hour. Our goal was 35 pledges. We heard from 50 listeners.
Excellent.
So we creamed that goal. to use a technical term. So thank you to all 50 of you who've made your pledge this morning. That's great stuff. But now we've got a new hour and a new goal. We're looking at 70 pledges by 8 o'clock. So a pretty lofty goal, and we've got a few of them in already, so that's a good sign. These goals, by the way, are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs you depend on. So help us meet that goal, heck, exceed that goal, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You hear a lot of great guests on Wisconsin Public Radio all day long, you know, 5 days a week on the Ideas Network. This is a unique radio service in the nation, and your support makes it possible. Our producers, including Bill Martins and Christy Taylor and Robin Cherry, look for the very best guests and most important and interesting topics to talk about every morning on the Joy Cardine Show. And we are always fortunate to bring to you your elected representatives, like Congressman Reed Ribble right now during this half hour, Congressman Mark Pocan coming up in our next half hour. So state and national leaders and policymakers and lawmakers join us on a regular basis to hear from you. Right now, we'd like to hear from you with a pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving takes only a few minutes of your time. We just need your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. And when you use your credit card, it saves time, postage, and paper, and it puts your money to work right away. So no matter how you choose to give or how much, use these next few minutes to make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because you can count on information, entertainment, great discussion, and you can count on a sense of community. You make Wisconsin a better place just by listening and by being a more rounded, well-educated person.
You're a listener. Now take the step and become a member. Your donation of $5 a month makes Wisconsin an even better place where great radio is available to everyone. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now when we travel, I've got WPR's app for the iPhone. We listen to WPR all the time we're driving, 14, 15 hours a day sometimes, all across the country. This station has by far the best programming of any public radio station I've found anywhere in the country. This is prime programming. People should know that. People should be aware of it. People should know that there's something really intelligent happening right here in our midst. When we gave annually, you got a good feeling when you wrote the check. Now, as a sustainer, I'm reminded monthly. It does make you feel a bit more a part of the process, more a part of the entire effort to put intelligent programming on the air. We like the idea that we're putting our money where our values are. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, thank you very much to Bruce and to all of our sustainers. You can make a monthly donation, any amount. It can be withdrawn from your bank account or charged to your credit card, and make that ongoing pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. When you are a sustainer, by the way, you're automatically entered into drawings when we have drawings. And we do have a drawing that is going on today, this first day of the fall membership drive. Your pledge of any amount will enter you into a drawing for an iPad. And Bill, I know everybody wants an iPad.
Everybody. I want an iPad, but I don't think we're eligible for one, but I will be making a pledge during this drive. So a pledge of any amount today will enter you into that drawing for an iPad, and we are looking for 65 more people during these next 35 minutes or so to help us reach that goal of 70 pledges for this hour. And you can do that at WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and good luck on that iPad.
Thanks very much, Bill. We need to get back to our conversation with Republican U.S. Representative Reed Ribble, talking about the federal budget shutdown, the debt ceiling deadline, and we have lots of callers. So let's go to Bill in Green Bay first. Hello, Bill.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
As a 77-year-old white guy that you guys are looking for support from, I wouldn't trust you.
Well, why not, Bill?
I would not trust people that have to deal with the Tea Party because they've already said that we're going to get it in there. There was a congressman from Colorado last night on TV. He said, hey, it's going to be in there. We're going to do it.
What are we going to do,
Bill?
What
Obama wants.
What did he say? It's going to be in there.
He said that we're going to get rid of Obamacare.
Oh.
Yeah, well, so, you know, there's been many votes to repeal Obamacare, and the first proposal was to defund it, and now it's delay it. So he's saying he's not trusting the Republicans.
And listen, I don't think that Bill's comment is surprising, and I don't even think he's out of the ordinary. Whether he's an independent, a Democrat, or Republican, and I spoke about this at our No Labels event yesterday. There's been a breakdown of trust in Washington D.C. Citizens don't trust the government. The House doesn't trust the Senate. The Senate doesn't trust the House. The President doesn't trust the Congress. The Congress doesn't trust the President. And there's been this massive breakdown of comity between all of those groups. And all one has to do is go to any political Facebook page, look at any comments at the newspaper, and what you're seeing is a dialogue amongst people, and the name calling that goes on, and the diminishment of people that you and I would never accept in any other human relationship, where we're calling people idiots and morons and all this. And I appreciated Bill's tone because he went right to the heart of the problem. And we together, not just the leadership in this country, but the American people have got to dial the rhetoric down and begin to have grown-up, thoughtful conversations so we can find the balance point to begin to fix things. And I happen to agree with Bill. And that's what my effort with No Labels has been all about, is trying to restore trust. And it's starting to happen. There's about 80 of us now meeting every other week together, both Republicans and Democrats, and that's the first thing we began to work on. And Mark Pocan, by the way, has been a stalwart attendee of those meetings and has been extraordinarily helpful and has been a great contributor to the activity.
We'll have him on next. Scott in New Glarus is with us. Hello, Scott.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if you couldn't explain to me why we can't, for Social Security, just raise the cap.
Yeah, and that's one of my proposals, is to raise the cap. Historically, we've always taxed around 90% of payrolls in this country, but so many Americans have moved above that threshold. You know, right now the cap is at $116,000 of payroll. But we're only taxing at 83% of all payrolls, scheduled to go down to about 79%. So consider the dynamics. We have more and more Americans retiring and fewer workers contributing. So we have to stop that. And it is inevitable that the cap must go up. And so I was proposing that we move the cap back up to 90% of payrolls over a 5-year period of time. And we're going to have to do that, but that will only extend Social Security for about, I'm going to try to guess here because I don't have the charts in front of me, but 10 to 17 years. That's all the further would get us. And what I was hoping to do is come with a broad-based reform that would get it so that my grandchildren are as equally protected. This is one of the most popular programs in the country, and it warrants protection.
And you would also expand a phase-in of raising the retirement age, means testing benefits for high-income recipients, and adjust inflation formula for calculating future growth.
So, right. I think those are common sense reforms that have broad bipartisan support. The president came out in his budget with only one reform, and that was change CPI, which is changing the inflation formula. The problem I have of doing just that as a reform is that you're putting all the burden of the fix on just one generation of Americans. And I don't think that that's right. I think every single American is in this program, so every single American should participate in the reforms. And on raising the retirement age, I'm extraordinarily sensitive to the fact that not everybody can work until they're 67, 68, 69. So we need to have processes where people that were in difficult trades, like the one I was in for 35 years, roofing, can get into the system earlier, while people who are healthier and their bodies are in better condition can opt out to go in later and apply those savings to the trust fund balance.
Yeah. Are you, Congressman Ribble, we have less than 30 seconds. Are you optimistic that some sort of agreement will be reached before the debt ceiling deadline?
Yes. Oh, yes. There will be an agreement. The debt ceiling will not be breached.
Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Reed Ribble, Republican U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, which covers most of northeastern Wisconsin. He is also the Republican co-chair of the No Labels Problem Solvers Caucus. We will talk with Democrat Mark Pocan coming up after the news.